Thank you very much for coming to our session of our theater traffic discussion today. And as we announced, we are going to be talking about performance and the digital world. Before we start talking about this, I think I have to pay tribute to a person who has helped us incredibly in trying to create this discussion, who is Dr. Tony Sant, who's graduated, has got his PhD actually from New York University, and his PhD is about performance and the digital world. I'm going to start actually by a point which Tony Sant makes in one of his writings and also in one of his emails to us. And he says, he's talking about digital performance, and he says, one of the most exciting parts of AITG for me has always been the idea of interactive theatre. Most traditional theatre is not interactive. And he goes on to say that the internet is an interactive medium. Interactivity is one of the main characteristics of the internet that makes it different from other electronic media, such as radio and television. Most of the content of the internet is not pushed to an audience the way radio and television programs are pushed towards listeners and viewers. With the internet, we deliberately pull most of the pages we want to see and play most files we want to see or hear on demand. A wider degree of participation rather than passive contemplation is sought from the reader, viewer, audience of a website. This wider degree of participation makes the experience interactive. So I think we're going to start by discussing all this interactive process, which is the performance on digital media, as well as through Anthony Attard here, and I have to actually mention the other people who are involved in this discussion tonight. Anthony Attard was an ex-theatre studies student, graduated also in communications, and actually has written his BA honours dissertation on media and performance in fact, I'm going to ask him to speak about it, and he will give us the proper title because I haven't said it. It will be up to him to speak about it. And he has here parts of a performance that he has created himself using different media. Victor Iacono has done all the research on media and performance, and has also followed actually courses about this of a theoretical and perhaps of a more practical nature in his Socrates exchange in Italy. And Ingrid Eomois has done research on digital performance. In fact, in our Science Week stand about 2 years ago, she held the part of the stand that dealt with computer performance. So I'm going to leave it up to them. I think, Victor, maybe you would like to take the floor first.
Okay, so it's a big, big subject, and I don't think we have any experts about this among us. I am not an expert about performance and the digital world or digital technology, whatever, but it's good to think about it, to start a discussion about it anyway, because we are surrounded by it nowadays. I think the point I want to start making here, to follow this thing of interactivity. Although in traditional theatre we are not sort of that perhaps interactive in traditional theatre as we know it, theatre still, particularly we know in the 60s with certain experimental theatre performance, 70s and so on, we did not have to really wait for the digital world for interactivity to happen, therefore for the audience to actually start getting off their seats and interacting with what was going on in the space of representation. So we have to see what kind of interactivity we are also talking about when we talk about performance in the digital world. But that is perhaps a point that we might want to raise later. Still keep it in mind. It's fundamental when discussing performance in the digital world. What I would like to discuss with you are two main points this evening in relation to Tony's work. Your surname? Because we have two Tonys now in the game. To Tony Attard's dissertation, and then to some other examples we have for you this evening. The first is the idea of what is this digital world? I mean, this idea of digital technology, we're surrounded by it. But there is a difference. I mean, we have to treat it differently when we're talking about digital technology as something that enhances performance as we know it, okay, in real space and time, where digital technology enhances, therefore, a traditional theatrical experience. And therefore, I would like to talk about digital technology in theater performances. What are they giving? Is it creating a new art form? Is it creating, is it promoting a new medium? And this is something that I'm going to actually address to you, Tony, and maybe we can talk about it and you can comment about it also in relation to your work. And then I would like to talk a little bit about theater performance in the digital world this time, and therefore meaning in a space with different qualities. Okay, we have heard about performance online or experiencing performance on the World Wide Web, okay, and we might also want to talk about that later on. So I think we could start actually with you, Anthony, and you can tell us something about your work and what you want
my
to
project.
Show us.
Yes. The actual title, because Vicky asked about the title, was The Fusion of Theatre and Videography in Live Performance. So what I tried to achieve was to analyze the specificity of theatre and video. It couldn't be film because they're different media. I mean, the technology used is different. And their fusion in a live performance. So I analyzed the concept between a screened reality and the live performance. But we'll go into that later on. I'd like to talk about the concept of whether we're creating a new art form. I do not think so, simply because throughout history, I think that theater reacted to the technology available, what's known as technology. So any development could be social, political, it could be artistic development. In this case, we have new tools. So I consider the digital element as a tool which a director, a performer can use in the creation. In no way can the live performance substitute the event of a screened performance, in my case as video. So the experience from an audience point of view cannot be the same. In fact, my point in the thesis is no matter how much technology I used, you can only see it again within a live perspective. So it only makes sense if the performance is staged again. So you can't see the video on its own, because the video was created with a performance in mind. So the actors had to interact with the video, so it served us as various things, which I can I go into now?
Well, yes, I think.
Alright. First of all, the performance was based on Shakespeare's Macbeth, and the director, Simon Bartolo, took sections from Lady Macbeth's speeches. And we use that as the basic text. So the performers created their own physical sequences for that text. And then what I did, used their sequences and their speech to create three videos, which played simultaneously in the event. So the videos were used as, number one, the backdrop. So it could be like Brecht used it as, instead of painting a scenery, project it, because that's a tool available. It could be used also for intertextuality. For example, I used elements from films from Macbeth, and the actors interacted with that video. I also used the videos as an extended performing space. So you could see a performer on stage, and at the same time, you see the performer on screen in a different location. But then again, it does not make sense to see either the performance, the sequences on their own, or else the video on their own. It works as one collective performance. So in fact, to use what for example one of the groups today, the Worcester group in America, based their work on this fusion of performances, of film, of sound. And one of the critics says that this is like the contemporary concept of the Gesamtkunstwerk, where you have the collective work. So whereas before we had music fused directly with what was going on, the whole different artistic elements, this is another medium to be used in theatre.
So we're talking here about technology as tools.
As a tool.
Not providing a new artistic possibility. Right. When I was doing some research, some reading, I came across this very interesting point with regards to then to the media, the digital media, and the way that they are getting, the way they're being inserted in performance. And which is perhaps something which has more to do with the second aspect of performance online. However, it would be still good to make this point now, to still challenge a little bit whether we're trying to do something which is not perhaps the usual theater anymore. And the point is this, it's about a technology that, like cinema, you know, when cinema came over, it looked as if it was simply trying to record the theater. This was the debate at the beginning of cinema. And the point also says that, listen, we are not sort of realizing new creative ways of utilizing this technology because the technology is still new. We are too much aware of it. When we will become a little bit less aware of it and we will be able to master it more, we'll be able to create something new with it. But until we go over this stage, over this evolutionary stage, we can perhaps find new ways.
Yes, but we also have to say that they did go over that evolutionary stage because we ended up having people like Piscator using multiple media for one performance, where not, and creating in theory with Walter Gropius a hall to create his total theater, where you would have had vision on 360 degrees, including ceiling, floor, revolving seats for the audience. Audience, the vision of a man entering and then going right through the theater and seeing his back moving out of the walls of the theater.
Even Eisenstein did this, who was working from theater, developed into cinema, but even, for example, he created the montage of attractions, which was a montage system specifically for theater, how the fusion could happen in theater using film.
And I think that one has to make the distinction between live performance in the sense of a live performance on a stage and a live performance in the digital world, which is, for example, through the Athemu entry. That is, you enter you type in Athemu, and you can you have like a chat line in a certain sense. This is the way I describe it because it's the way I lived it. It's like a sophisticated chat line in a certain sense, where you enter a space, a cyberspace with other people, and you decide to interact, to create what is called cyber theater, which means that you choose a character. You might choose a particular figure, so it's up to you to choose either the picture of a woman or a man or a cartoon figure or any sort of figure you want, or you might want to design it or create it.
This is what we call an avatar, in fact, yes.
Exactly, but you do not have a live being. It is the live being is the person who is manipulating this image in a certain sense. For me, I call this a new form of puppetry.
Right.
And with a different string. Instead of having a string attached to the puppeteer, you have a mouse up to a certain extent. And then you start creating dialogue with the other puppeteers, if we're going to take this image, all right? You start creating dialogue. Now, this dialogue can be said digitally. You can actually hear it, or else you can write it with balloons, as you would in comics, or you can put them in any, you can create any sort of scenic background. And that is different, I think, to what you are talking about,
yes.
Anthony. It's,
yes.
it's a very different...
I'm talking more about the relationship between, in my case, between theater and videography. So theater and television, for example,
mm-hmm.
Rather than the individuals creating through cyberspace the performative element we're talking about. They're two separate things. Both of them rely on technology at the end of the day.
Yes. So. And what is interesting, though, is the different articulations of this technology. Because on the one hand, we have digital technology being projected into a theater and creating a new medium for the actors to interact with. In Malta, we saw this, certainly with your performance, I think it was very clear, where you had your actors interacting with the images you were projecting to them, and also the images of themselves,
yeah.
and having to interact with themselves being filmed, which actually reminded me of certain experiments that Piscato had carried out. On the other hand, you have... and therefore the possibility of, for example, changing sets radically or juxtaposing different sets at the same time, and therefore a person laying himself against one particular background, creating an action, is going to take a different meaning to that same person creating the same action against a different background. And the way the person interacts with all these backgrounds, with all these sounds, with the distortions that digital means allows you to create. On the other hand, you have the creation of something that is called a performance, because there are people watching it and it is live because it is immediate. Now, I think one of the debates with regard to the Athemu situation is to actually define whether this is a performance or a sophisticated chat line, because I mean, I'm not the first person to start debating it, and I certainly won't be the last. But the points that the people who are manipulating this type of technology make is that, first of all, we are talking about role play, just as we are talking about role play in the theater. Secondly, we are talking about an audience, a direct connection between the screen at this point and the audience. Okay? And we are, and therefore a sharing of space. And also, we are watching live improvisation. Live improvisation with a certain, and in fact, Tony Sand points out that an author, who Lenoir, who actually argues that interaction with a computer is inherently dramatic, for it allows human beings to take action within or through representation. I think all these elements need to be debated. I mean, do we really believe that we are watching performance? Is this performativity? But even if we were watching performance, are we watching theater? So all this has to be questioned.
Okay. I wanted to ask a question, actually. So Piscator has, if not done it, gone very, very close to it so many years ago. What has changed?
The technology.
Exactly.
The technology
simply
has
the technology
changed.
Simply the tools.
I mean, we've been doing theater using actors for 2,000 years, but the way the actors worked, using the technology and the condition they were in, changed. But the essential elements were always there. Mm-hmm. So instead of building a set, now you can project it. Instead of fixing that this performance can take place from dawn till sunset, or sunset to sunrise, whatever it is.
From sunrise
to sunset. It can happen at the same time. Because why is the performance are doing something, the projections are saying something else. It could be that the subtext of a text, whereas before you couldn't bring out certain subtext within the text. For example, if you want to be really powerful, what I created in the performance, footage of war in silent footage, or the effect of war, how better can you do that than show actual footage of war using it within a different context? So it gives new possibilities.
Yes, I don't think you can limit yourself by saying, is that the only thing it does? I mean, obviously, at the basis of theatre, for me, there is an actor, which is my big problem with regard to Attemore performances. Because who is the actor? Is it what I am watching or the manipulator? At that point, if I transpose this onto something like, for example, Balinese or rather Javanese shadow puppetry, who is the actor? Is it the puppet or is it the puppeteer or is it a mixture of both? Where is it? You know, so I think those questions
rise
again.
Another thing to add is what has it changed is the main element is that through, like what McLuhan says, that we want to be in a constant media presence. Wherever we are, if we're in a bar and the TV set is on, there could be no sound whatsoever. People just stare at it. We stare at moving images wherever we go, even if we're shopping out there and there's a TV screen going on, we just stare at it. Because there is something which, I don't know, we're attracted to this moving image. So why not use that possibly to criticize society, possibly to do whatever you want to do as an advantage?
Yes, I mean...
As another tool, not to be a performance in itself. I do not think that it makes sense. Might as well go to the cinema or watch television.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the whole debate. But the point is that new technology has always changed, modified, I would say, the quality of the theatrical act. I mean, at the beginning we had candles, then we suddenly had gaslight, yes. And then we had lights, and then suddenly we had projections, and now we've got, we've got computers. So technology is the nature of progress to insert the elements, the new elements that emerge in the world into the performative ambient. The point is, when we are talking about online performance, what are we going to do with online performance? Are we going to do it for entertainment? Are we going to try and convey, for example, a political or a social message? Are we going to try and create an online performance which is exactly like a video? We're trying to create another video, but using improvisational techniques. I think these are the type of questions that have to be raised. And the type of, because through these type of questions, we are actually transmitting different messages. We are communicating different things. And basically, we are creating a new environment, okay, as Tony Sant very rightly points out, a new environment for familiar interaction. I think, in fact, up to a certain extent, in your videographic performance, I had seen this creating a new environment for an action which for theatre people, I mean at least for a scene, which for people who are familiar with the theatre is well known because Lady Macbeth is a well-known character, but suddenly it created a whole new set of signs and a whole new relationship between these signs. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, I think we can actually watch. It's better to
exactly,
actually
that's
watch,
what I was going to suggest.
Parts of to brief you before the whole. I mean, as the whole project tries to prove, it does not make sense to just watch the DVD because the whole element is that if it's a live performance, then it has to be experienced. And I keep repeating that over and over again because it does not make sense to just see the images. If it's a film, yes. If it's a video, yes. But as it's actually regarded as a mediatized performance or a fusion of theater, but it's like they have coined a new word for contemporary theater, the mediatization of performance.
Right, so now Tony Atod's going to make us watch his videoed performance. And while he does that, I think it's important to try and understand these kind of moo performances. I mean, moo, in a certain sense, is a word which I believe, I think I have a little explanation here about it. Moo started evolving from mud. Now, mud is short for multi-user dungeon or multi-user dimension, which were basically computer games. They were adventure games, and from mud, these type of multi-user dimensions continued to develop over quite a period of time, and suddenly, we moved on to onto interaction where the players could design, not only play, but could design actually the place in which they played. Now these, the fact of being able to design the place in which to play, led eventually to the moo, where in the moo we started creating a new type of graphic and this sort of online theatre. I mean, we is a wrong pronoun because I certainly did nothing of this.
Okay, so back to the project. Practically, what I worked on, as I said, three separate videos. So the actual script entitled not only just the text, but the text, video one, video two, video three, which had to be played simultaneously. So that took a whole editing process, which in this case, we'll discuss it another.
For example, here we are seeing on the different screens a whole series of spattering of blood. It's as though blood is actually invading the space, creating an effect to underline the text at that particular moment. Now, it could have been used as a contrast. For example, I watched a performance in London, again, with the use of blood, where two people were actually dancing a waltz and you had all this spattering going on around them. So again, at that point, it gives a different contextualization to the actor's work, and the actor has to take it into account when producing his work.
Over here is something which we can only see when we see the individual scenes. There are daggers flying past, as if the clock, and even the sound of it, back to beguiling time, cheating time, and so there was this constant imagery. Certain imagery which create in other ways in theatre, but this was a visual way. So it's a visual manifestation of the ticking, and she was here interacting with her madness. So, and the madness was in a lift. She was locked in a lift, and that was the scene filmed. And she was doing the same movement live. So on one screen, we're seeing her filmed doing the action, and there we're seeing it live in front of us. But at that instance, you wouldn't say, that's filmed, so it looks strange. the experience itself, once you are immersed into it, you take it as one whole thing, and it's just, you're surrounded by madness.
Right, I think sort of already this has given us...
We can just see the images going on. And
you know, various ideas already about the use of digital technology within the theatre. But the interaction in the creation of performance itself with digital technology brings us to a quotation by Burke, where he says that in reality, these new environments I was describing before, which is very different to the use of digital technology as propounded by Anthony. Here I'm talking about interaction. Burke maintains that, and I quote, that the performances in Mu environments expand contemporary and historical notions of theatricality, adding to the existing diversity of the of world theatre, rather than seeking to literally reproduce or replace it. And I think, in a sense, this is they are trying to they are seeing themselves, the people who create this kind of interactive theatre online, are seeing themselves as adding another dimension to the theatrical event.
Adding to this, in fact, I would like you to keep watching this performance on Anthony's computer and imagine that this performance is happening on your monitor, on your computer monitor at home, in real time as you are watching it. So a kind of online performance basically is that you have an appointment. You have an appointment with a performance just as you have an appointment with a theater performance, but you don't go to the theater. You will go to a website. You might have actually booked your place there, and you will give your name. Perhaps you will be asked to choose a nickname for yourself so that it will give a certain an additive quality to the fact that you are there. And you are going to watch a performance that is really happening somewhere in a place. But perhaps the performance happening in Israel or the performance happening in the USA, but you, the spectator, are watching it in front of your computer monitor in Malta.
And not, you can perhaps interact with
and not
that
only
performance.
That, exactly, and not only that, but through your computer, you are going to be able to interact. How? You could interact via different programs, perhaps inserting some texts, perhaps at a certain point in agreement with the actors, you are going to improvise. A text is going to be projected there and then in that space. For the actual spectators present in the real space of the performance to see. Now, how does this change the performance-spectator relationship that we hold at the foundations of the theater, of the theatrical experience? Actually, this is perhaps an interesting plus that we as yet do not have any certain theories about. You must know, I mean, my experience in Rome with regards to these experiments and with regards to this technology is that technology has run ahead of us, and we have as yet to come to terms with what is really happening and what is happening actually to the way we relate to each other because of these technologies, which is also at the basics of everything is the changing the dynamics of our relationships in the same way that the dynamics change when we are no longer talking to each other, I mean face to face, but we are chatting online. But what is this doing to performance, and what is this doing to interactivity? The fact that you can actually change the content of a performance, okay, up to a limited and controlled extent. But you can do it, and perhaps you will not be given that possibility to do it when you are actually sitting there in front of something, in front of a performance, a piece of theatre that's happening before you.
Yes, I think, you know, we've tried through our presentation to give a little idea of the different types of the different types of performance that digital technology can produce. I hope this has sort of created some curiosity within you, for example, to go onto another MOOC site and see what it's all about to start with. I'd just like to know if there is any feedback or any points that you yourselves want to raise about what we have been saying.
One topic I wanted to raise today that I came across while doing my project a couple of years ago, that what happens to the narrative in this process. For example, I took the text of Waiting for Godot and went to a chat room and asked people to react to that text. Because this project had to be shown during Science Week, it couldn't happen online at that time. So I recorded it and then played it there. So it was not the real thing, really. But it was interesting how the text changed and how little remained of the original text, really. So was it the original text at the end? And there was no there was a beginning, but there definitely wasn't any ending. No. And the question is that, would people who don't participate directly, who didn't take the role of a character in this play, would they enjoy it just the same? Because it's not a story, it's not a narrative, and isn't it in a human nature to want a conclusion? We go to the theatre and we want a story, even when we don't admit it, but we would like to see some kind of a conclusion. You know? And I didn't really find the answer to that question, but it definitely raises that problem, and I don't know, what do you think?
The modification of narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, what about the other side?
Would you enjoy it? I mean, you know the classical text, let's say, and when it's really modified, you know, and the ending is completely different, or there is no ending at all, you know.
Mm-hmm. You are reading the
chat. Exactly.
And you are enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But does it, I mean, does that make it theatre then? Isn't it just, again, a literary chat room?
It's like a computer game. I personally think it is a theatrical experience, but it's not theatre.
What makes you define it as a theatrical experience?
It is a role play. There is interaction. There are actors in some sense, not in flesh and blood, but they are there. You know, there is a performance, some kind of performance taking place. But it's, of course, it's not a theatre in a classical sense, and I don't see not even in thousand years that this kind of theatre, this kind of experience would replace the theatre as we know it today. No, it's a different experience and enjoyable maybe, but it doesn't replace what
but
we have.
But I think no matter what, how much technology we use, for me, theatre is still the encounter between human beings.
Exactly.
It is. And that's why I keep emphasizing the live encounter, mm-hmm. that people are there sharing a space, experiencing something. Now, it could be that they're sharing that experiences through projections, through sounds, through internet connections and whatever it is. But for me, the theater experience is always, it's related to an encounter.
I agree
human,
with you.
A human, between human beings.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. This is what this online theater lacks, is a human touch, I would say. And it becomes more of a computer game, really.
It started off being that.
Yes.
That's why I spoke about the muds and the moos.
This is all fine. I mean, we can look at the theatrical experience from the point of view of relationships. And at the same time, we can ask ourselves, but how do these relationships actually occur? I mean, what goes on? What do you mean by relationships? You have something happening in front of you, and you're trying to make sense of it. It's hitting you somehow. There are actually loads of cognitive and memory functions going on. There's this whole feedback and feed forward of information that you are processing all the time. One of the interesting points that have been raised in discussions, even during online lectures I actually had in Rome, because that was something interesting. We actually had online lectures and online preparation of projects, which was really strange for us to adapt. But all of a sudden, this idea of technology coming somehow in between and contaminating what we usually know as this person-to-person experience has made us more aware of what is going on, has made us more aware that we construct what is happening before us, that we actually are waiting there for clues, that we are selecting. And online technology, I mean, not the technology, but this online theater experience, the fact that you can also interact, the fact that you can construct your own avatar, your own representative figure on the internet, online, they might not perhaps give you theater in itself, but they are also giving you some sort of a side effect. I mean, some sort of awareness about how we really construct things and conceive things, and how we really relate to each other and to performers in a theatrical situation. I don't know if any of you would like to comment upon this, actually.
What I started immediately thinking, and seeing this, it's reminded me of, for instance, what Merhold says, theater is the art of man. And also some stuff which I read as theater and even going to the theater being a necessity. So what I started thinking also is what this reflects upon the actual nature of man. Because, for instance, if there's this person who has the need to go to the theater, has the need for the relationship, I mean, the need for what? I mean, if you go into this room and face a screen, and you go into another room and face an actual human being, I mean, I think it's a bit of a difference. So it can raise the argument not only about if it is theater or it is not theater, about the actual relationship in between.
Okay, Nicole, what happens if somebody were to give you a motion capture suit that you would have to wear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there have been different experiments with this, and they have arrived up to a certain extent of definition. But, and you are also given a helmet with 3D monitoring in front of your eyes, and all of a sudden you see yourself, your body, if I may, projected in a world which perhaps would be unimaginable in real life. And what happens, what could happen perhaps to the actor who experiences this and have the whole thing and to be able to interact, therefore his corporeality is now at one in the digital one and zero sequence of digital technology with a space that is entirely artificial, digital, which is no longer made of molecules and of atoms. I mean, what would happen there?
I have to experience it, I think. I haven't experienced it, but I think it's different in seeing something which perhaps overwhelms me, a performance which really touches me and gets me engaged, and it's a performance of a human being there and then, I mean, in perhaps a distance where I can almost touch the performer and enter into a room and where I know that everything around me is technological. You know, I think.
Would you know? Wouldn't this illusion take you in a way that you would forget for a moment that you are made of different material other than one and zero sequences? Because this happens, you see, I mean, let's talk a little bit about chat, for example. You know, when you chat with a person, and sometimes you, even through text, you know, you get carried away. I mean, there's no
but
way that you're
going
to...
let's put it this way, the basis of online projection and online theater is text. It is not movement. All right? There is no two ways about it.
Up to now.
And there, it is a text-based performance, communication. I mean, even a chat line is after all text-based. You are talking with other people. And interestingly, what I find interesting in chat rooms is the persona that people create. The fact that you hide your identity, you give yourself another name, you invent a whole biography to yourself. You know, you are already, up to a certain extent, acting. Now, in the online performance, you are actually creating the figure to do all that. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you are deliberately creating a fiction. Now, the big justification, I would say, of the people who want to interact in this way, in fact, Tony Sands points this out very clearly, is the idea of, in reality, what you are projecting is yourself. Mm-hmm. You can hide yourself under 10,000 disguises, but the person you are projecting, even through that avatar, as they call it, is yourself. And therefore, you are playing, in a certain sense, who you are. Now, it's interesting because they are claiming this, eliminating all corporality, all element of body, all element of physical presence. And they justify the physical presence through the physical presence at the end of the computer with the person who is interacting through the computer. That's why I compare them to puppeteers. My argument would go a little bit further from, would push a bit further what Ingrid has said. If I had to not interact, but simply watch, as though I went into a chat room and simply watched what is coming up on screen, as though I'm eavesdropping, you know. I have my own pet theory that all this live TV is also due, and this enjoyment of it is also due to all this eavesdropping we have on chat lines. I mean, we've become voyeurs in
exactly.
a certain sense, okay? I mean, it is a sophisticated eavesdropping with a picture for me to watch, balloons, animated balloons for me to read, people for me to listen to. But does that, what kind of experience does that create in me as a watcher rather than as a doer, because if I'm doing, I'm enjoying it. It's almost like I'm playing a game, you know, like when you're playing Dragons and Dungeons and you're trying to push your whatever hero all through those horrible passages, and you know, you might be more or less technically capable to do it. I am usually beaten hollow by my nephew every time we try to play together, but in reality, I'm doing something. I might have fun. But if I'm watching this as a performance, what kind of experience do I receive? Because if I'm reading a chat line, the kind of experience I receive is that I'm sort of curious about what these people are saying. I don't want to interact, but I'm just seeing these words appear. And it amuses me or doesn't amuse me, or I comment about how stupid or how clever this reply is, etc. But the whole immersion of the experience as a theatrical experience by me watching this performance is where I have my questions. Person.
Victorina. I have to speak in English, sorry. From what you say, it reminds me of two things. I don't know if you've ever come across E.M. Forster's The Machine Stops, which is a short story. E.M. Forster's, okay, it's basically...
Again, because you said it too fast.
The Machine Stops. The Machine Stops. Uh-huh. And the talk's basically about... it's a futuristic, when he wrote it, it was a futuristic story that basically all human beings have destroyed and so on the world, and they have to live within cells under the ground. And yes, there comes a time when the machine which controls the existence of humanity malfunctions to the extent that everyone dies and all communication is relegated through the machine. All kind of communication, even sexual communication.
Yes.
Okay? Now, what you've been saying reminds me a lot of that story, which is basically becomes, for me, very much of a mental exercise of hypothesis, stripping humanity. When you hypothesized a lot, what if the actor were wearing a suit which would give you corporeal presence in a digital world? Well, it gives you a corporeal presence, but it's not a real corporeal presence. It is a fictitious corporeal presence within an imaginary world.
Yes.
So
the thing is this. Two points. First point, we can do nothing but hypothesize about it for the time being, and I think we will go on hypothesizing about it for a long time. This is what the front student scholars of these technologies are saying. I'm nobody in this sector. Second, doesn't the actor still do that in theater? What you said, doesn't he still construct his presence in a way? Isn't it artificial?
Artificial in what way? He does it physically, in a real time, in real space, with a real presence, with a real interaction.
But isn't the product of his artifice? Is it, you know, when we have Barba, for example, talking about his extra daily
He's not apart
presence.
From the product of his artifice and himself are not apart.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's part and parcel of a reality.
Yes.
He is real. I mean,
we come to Grotowski's concept of a real presence. I'm desperately at the moment trying to think of the term and I can't remember it, but the concept of a real presence, you are the authenticity of the theatrical act. It is not just fiction. Now, I am authentically behind my screen, but this is like people who watch football, no? And people who play it. People who watch football think they are, you know, almost feel engaged in the game. But at the end of it all, they haven't run, they haven't sweated, they haven't broken legs, they haven't done anything. Whilst the person who is playing the football is actually doing all that. Now the actor who is exposing his body on stage is performing a real act. Through a picture, I cannot perform
no,
a real
no,
act.
Certainly
I
not.
Can manipulate it, I can do whatever I like, but I'm not there and I am not putting myself at stake. I'm not putting myself at stake by posing myself in front of my audience. What if I slip? What if something goes wrong? What, you know, it's a different reality.
I have what Sarah said is very interesting, because Forster's book, one of the ones you mentioned, no?
Story then.
Yeah, it kind of, the effect it has is a disturbing effect.
So is imagining, trying to imagine
yes.
a theatrical performance with no physical
yes.
relationship,
yes.
no
yes.
physical contact
yes.
between human beings.
Yes.
It's very disturbing in the sense that it strips completely the whole concept of a theatrical event.
Yes.
It strips
exactly.
it. I am fully in agreement with using the technology, with working within the technology, with working with the technology
yes.
for a theatrical encounter. I am full and total in accordance with that, but to become so sterile as to strip the theatrical event from all aspects of humanity by introducing corporeal pseudo-reality into a 1-0 program is taking it a little bit too much. And I'm talking from the point of view of a performer. If I am a performer, I find it...
Now, what has happened, Sarah, is this, that certain performers came to a point and said, listen, we know all this thing about corporate reality, we have experienced it, we have perhaps taken it to a certain limit. And we have, in that way, benumbed ourselves. They found, in this kind of technology, as it happened with other technologies that we encountered during our evolution, an occasion, a possibility to disturb, to actually have this disturbing experience
in order to rediscover
that corporate reality, which very much in the 20th century, okay, many seem to have lost or seem to have sort of lost contact with what it really means. And we have performers engaging in this type of experience specifically for its disturbing effect.
See, just one observation. At the end of the day, it boils down to specificity. What would make it specific as a specific performance in internet or cyberspace, whatever it is, and actual theater as we know it, or calling it traditional, whatever it is. I would like to quote here, and I think I lost the page, of Patrice Pavie, who makes distinctions between specificity in theater and in video. And he says that video would manage to create the effects of theater, but not theater. And I think this can be said the same way to internet, to cyberspace theater. It can possibly create the effect of theater, but not theater.